Hey everyone, before we start the show, I just wanted to let you know that we have updated our Patreon. Now, not only do you get early access to episodes, but we are now releasing Patreon exclusive playthroughs. We are starting with The Space Between, a modern day Call of Cthulhu scenario GM'd by the one and only Scott Dorward. So if that sounds good to you, and you want to help the show keep going and keep releasing every week, then please head over to patreon.com/HowYou'reAllPodcast. Now, on with the show. Hello and welcome back to How We Roll Podcast Does Pulp Cthulhu. My name is Joe Trier and I am joined tonight by some amazing players and an amazing keeper. We're going to do some very, very quick instructions, very quick recap, and then on with the game. So as I said, my name is Joe and tonight I'll be playing Charles Blackstone, a wily aeronaut who's good with his fists and good with his, well, that's probably about it. He can fly a little bit. Welcome back to the show, Ethan. Ethan, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right there, you know, Charles, doing all right indeed. I'm just on my way back to Caduceus, going to make sure that Greg is okay. My name is Karen, and I'll be playing Ethan. Doing it backwards.
I was just about to say, we've just spent the last 4 or 5 episodes trying to find that Ethan. He's gone off back to wherever he's gone. Oh, well, anyway, at least you're here, Bart.
I'll be right back.
Well, yes, I must say, I'm bloody pissed off. I just got dragged out of bed. You trashed my club. And then we arrived to see that Camilla's got herself out of the nick. So what the bloody hell? But anyway, I've got a, you know, immortal snake princess wizardess to save.
That's true.
Camilla, it's probably pretty late for all of us, but why don't you introduce
yourself? Hello, I'm Lisa Lee. I am playing Camilla Havenswood. She is a sharpshooting socialite with a monkey sidekick named Mary and a bag full of extremely interesting artifacts.
And our god in the sky, our nefarious messer of karma, we have Scott. Welcome back, Scott. Good to have you on the show.
Thank you very much, Charles/Joe. I don't think I can count myself as nefarious here compared to some of the things that you've been getting up to, but well, anyway.
Touché.
So, shall we have a quick recap and try to work out where exactly we got to? So, last session, you very briefly all managed to meet up. So Charles and Bart had gone from Bart's club down to try to bail Camilla and everyone else out of the precinct where they'd all been arrested following that little contretemps at Camilla's club. While that was going on, Camilla actually brokered a deal with Filomone Casali of the Bonanno crime family, who basically said that he would arrange for her and her people to get bailed in return for them doing him a little favour later. So, you know, he put a little pressure on his good friend Sergeant O'Bannon, and you were all released without charge. During that time, Ethan had gone looking for Greg in the sewers and had basically made a spectacular series of fuck-ups that involved him getting knocked out, floating face down in the sewer, and ending up in the East River. He completely failed to get himself out of the situation, but was rescued by Greg. The two of them, stinking of sewer water, traipsed through the streets of southern New York, made it all the way to the 11 Lilies, and eventually caught up with Bart and Charles, who saw him, who saw Greg while they were passing by in the car. Greg probably stands out a little more. At that point, they went to the precinct, all of them, found some of the gangsters hanging around outside. The things were getting a bit heated, were about to get a lot more heated, but Casali and his men got in the car and drove off before any unwise shooting could occur. And at that point, briefly, everyone was reunited before Ethan and Greg got into the car again and decided to head back to Cadesius. And that was pretty
much
where we
left it. I'm just going to have a quick shower and I'll be right back.
Yes, yeah, that was pretty much where we left it. So where are the rest of you going? I'm assuming you're not just going to spend the rest of the night loitering around outside the precinct.
I've had a thought. I think I probably should have fucking shot Casali just then. God damn it.
Well, you know, present company, location.
Well, yeah, you're probably right.
In front of a precinct wouldn't be so smart.
So what do you think? Do we follow him? What time is it anyway? It's looking pretty late.
Yes, it's about, you know, somewhere between 2 and 3 in the morning.
So, what do you think? Do we follow him? Bart, what do you think? What are your thoughts?
Well, frankly, despite my desire to poke more holes in him than a cheese grater, I do think we may have more pressing matters at hand. There's a slight little job that I might want to, you know, bring you in, and a couple of things I probably should tell you. Nothing important, really, honestly.
Things like, we've got quite a lot on our plate already, Bart. This isn't more gangsters.
No, not more gangsters. A bit of an older problem.
Like Italian gangsters?
I do think those were Italian gangsters. But yeah, all much older. And, a little bit scalier.
Oh, no. Scales.
Perhaps not best. Perhaps best not discussed
Ethan?
In the street. Now, I know we have, none of us have had any sleep.
There we go.
He glances over at Charles with daggers in his eyes. But perhaps we should retire to the Cadesius building. At least they have security, and that oaf won't be bothering us there. And discuss what we should do further. And I can fill you in on some details once I know we're in away from prying ears.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. So, hang on. When you say oaf, which oaf?
The mobster.
Oh, right. I thought you meant me there for a minute.
Bart just kind of keeps nodding. You know, sort of nod his head, the gangster. I thought you said me. Just keeps nodding.
Mary chatters in agreement from her backpack.
Well, that's good. I don't like being talked down to.
Oh, Mary loves
good
you,
show.
Charles. Mary loves you. So, call a cab, someone? We find
God,
one this time
How does one
of
even
night?
Do that in the 20s?
Yeah. It's,
hey. Uber!
It's not quite as organized.
Can somebody call an Uber?
Oh my God, it's search pricing. Oh, for fuck's sake.
God, it's messing with my chakras.
Let's just say that one of the nice police officers can arrange for a taxi to pick you up, if you ask them.
I do believe this is your department, darling. Not true, Charles, the other
one. Thank you, darling. I will absolutely go back in and begrudgingly ask O'Bannon for a taxi.
He grins and says, sure, doll, I'll add it to the tab.
I was going to say, this version of me doesn't have any spells, because I really want to, like, hex him with warts or something.
I know.
For the shits and giggles of it.
I touch his hideous laughter as I'm missing it so much right now.
But yes, a short while later, a taxi turns up. And you can head over to the Cadesius building about 10 or 15 minutes behind Ethan.
Oh, good.
So Ethan and Greg were arriving at the Medium building, in the middle of the night. There isn't a lot going on in the middle of the night there. There might be some people working up on the 7th or 8th floors, but on the whole, most of the work is done during business
hours.
And
don't we have keys to that special floor?
You do, yes.
There's got to be rooms up there on that floor, yeah?
Not really, no.
Will she?
Well, I mean, I assume there was like a doorman or something. Night security?
Ethan was arriving mm-hmm. there first. Okay. When Ethan arrives, like I say, most of the lights are off. There is a night watchman on the security desk.
Hello, night watchman.
He looks at you and, yes, you must be Mr. Vandermeer, is it?
That is correct. Do you know if there's any shower facilities in the building?
he sniffs a bit and I'm sure we can find you something.
Oh, that's right. No,
that's not me. That's Greg. All right.
Yes, and he looks over the counter at Greg and winces. I was briefed about that. Go up to go up to the 6th floor. In fact, I'll take you up there. I'm sure we can find something for you there.
I was going to say, I know this might derail half the episode, but should we try calling a vet for Greg?
Wow.
That's too fucking funny.
Well, you'd think with all the mutations in the basement, there would be some kind of veterinary doctor, not just a people doctor, yeah? If they're working on snaky things, there would be a reptilian doctor of something?
I'm pretty sure Greg half ate the person who was working on him.
Yeah, but to be fair, the person who was working on Greg was in the process of trying to vivisect.
Oh, that's true.
That is to
hope,
be fair.
I hope
yes,
you got
yes.
eaten.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
The security guard takes you up to the 6th floor, and yes, there are some employee showers up there. And he points you in the direction. And while you're there, he digs out some terry cloth robes and towels for you.
Thank you. thank you very much. All right. I think everyone else should be arriving soon enough.
Oh, right. I better get back downstairs then. And he scurries over to the lift and heads off. Now that you've got most of the shit off Greg, you can see that, he wasn't hurt during the vivisection attempt. He obviously managed to bite the biologist before she had a chance to really get stuck into him. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, he is still injured from having been dropped from a great height.
Yeah, I remember that.
Poor kid.
legs. But I was assured that they would try to help you, Greg. All right, I'm going to have a word with somebody, see if there's somebody who can perhaps help him. So I'm going to probably head up to... which floor was it again that had management?
It's the 7th and 8th floors the sort of special missions. The 7th floor in particular where the bullpen and all that stuff is.
Yeah. Obviously, I can't ask Shapiro because,
he's dead.
Spoilers. Yes. Yeah, exactly. but there's got to be somebody else I could talk to. So I'm going to head up to the 7th floor and I'm going to ask around. So.
Okay.
About Gonzalez.
Yeah. That's a good shout.
The man he attacked?
Doesn't that epithet
with a bed frame?
Almost everyone?
Right. We're not exactly the most welcome folks at Caduceus right now.
We did just spend like 10 episodes terrorizing
like we do.
Okay, so when you get up to the 7th floor, there is most of the lights are off. The lights are off in the bullpen. There's an unusual degree of quiet around the place. But you do hear the sound of footsteps walking down one of the corridors.
Who's there? Hello?
There's, a surprised kind of eeping noise, and there's a man's voice comes back in a second. Who's there? I didn't think anyone else was around.
Oh, it's just Ethan. You can relax. I'm just looking for some medical attention for Greg.
Who's Greg?
And I just point out this guy.
Oh, the footsteps come closer and a man comes around the corner. He's, in his 30s, a bit overweight. He's, he looks quite tired. His hair, his sandy hair is swept back. He's got a cigarette sticking out of the corner of his mouth. And as he comes around the corner and looks at Greg, the cigarette just drops out of the corner of his mouth and lands on the ground. Is that supposed to be in here? Shouldn't that be down in containment in the basement?
No. Greg is harmless. It's fine. Relax. They tried to vivisect him down there, so that he's not going back down there. I tell you that whoever's going to give him some attention is going to come up here to do it, and I'm going to watch.
Okay.
Do you know who I could talk to about that, actually? Because clearly you don't have any clue what you're talking about.
I was just trying to get some paperwork done. I thought I'd get through all the outstanding invoices while things were quiet. I don't know anything about looking after whatever that is.
All right, do you know anybody who might know something?
At this time of night? I don't know. Let me go and try a few internal numbers, he says. And he turns and he moves quite quickly down the corridor away from Greg.
And Greg and I move quite quickly right behind him.
Yes! I can just see everyone on the same foot at the same time. Just...
Yeah. Is that the faster he moves, the faster we move. The slower he goes, the slower we go.
He goes down to a little office down one of the side corridors that's got a sign on the door saying quartermaster. And he goes inside there and he looks back with alarm and says, it's all right, I can make the phone call to you. Go and make yourself comfortable. See whether you can find him something to eat that's not me.
He's not hungry, it's okay. We're going to wait right here.
Reason? Rex.
Do you have any snacks of the Scooby variety?
Rulu Rex.
Cthulhu snacks.
Yes.
Rulu.
Oh my god! This is everything I wanted today.
So the man who you can see from the little name plaque on his desk is Philip Connors, pulls out this internal directory and basically just starts dialing what seems to be every number he can find on every page just to see whether any of them pick up.
I was going to say, is Ethan also armed?
Not at the moment, no. I believe I didn't have any weaponry with me when we left. I haven't had my gun. I don't know where it is.
But you did have a sharp... bedpost, like a bed slat.
No, that was okay. Lost
in the sewer of the sea of the sewer.
Yeah, so I'm weaponless, just cleaned off. So I'm still wet, probably.
Oh,
yes.
I just have that perpetual feeling of damp, where you would kill for a dry
literally
towel.
Literally, eau de toilette.
We.
Oh, beat me to it. Beat me to it.
God. So, meanwhile, downstairs, the rest of you turn up, and there is a lone night watchman there who gets up as he sees the rest of you getting out of the taxi. And as he come in, he says, "Oh yeah, Mr. Vandermeer said there were more coming. Is something important happening tonight? It's unusual to see this many people in outbounds."
Just been something of an odd night. We just need the use of one of the boardrooms for an hour or two before we retire.
All right, well, just sign in and you know where you're going.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Anything to be had? Fruit basket? Anything?
He says the canteen will be closed at this time, miss.
Of course. Thank you, though.
Which floor is the canteen on?
Read my mind.
Three episodes later.
Canteen. Second floor, yeah, canteen.
Oh, don't make me laugh.
We'll find it. It's all right. You're a pip. We'll find
this
it.
This is going to be cut out by
the will be cut out anyway.
The moment it was like, what floor is the...
Nope.
Nope. That's gone.
Now, Caduceus has never... I've lost track in all of this. Caduceus has never mentioned to us what our next mission might be yet, have they?
Correct.
No.
No, they haven't.
We've been a little busy...
100% have not.
...causing a little bit of mayhem.
So, in answer to the most pressing question, the canteen is on the second floor.
I was right.
Yes.
I feel Camilla feels very vindicated at the moment.
Rhyming is rhyme for a rack.
Yes. Oh, God. Sorry. I just know that in an hour's time, you won't have got past the canteen and the building will be on fire.
Thank you for aspiring for all of us.
Okay, roll a saute.
So were you going up to meet up with Ethan, or were you going somewhere
else? I think we'll try and track Ethan down.
Yeah, let's track Ethan down.
I will try to track Ethan down. Charles has had all the fucking cucumber sandwich he could scoff in his plebeian gob.
Hey, what? Did someone say a cucumber sandwich?
When you get up to the seventh floor, you can hear the sound of some activity down one of the side corridors.
Ethan, is that you down there?
Ethan?
Depends who's asking.
Yep,
who's there?
There he is.
Who the fucking hell do you think is asking?
How am I supposed to know? My intelligence is only 10 higher than Charles.
I have you know that I'm average intelligence. I'm just checking my character sheet to see what my intelligence is.
You do find Ethan and Greg in the quartermaster's office with a very nervous-looking quartermaster still dialing what appears to be now random numbers on the phone. Someone answers. Certainly, Camilla recognises this as the man that she talked to earlier, you know, providing a distraction, and he was the one who let you into the artifact store.
Hello again.
Oh, Philip Connors, right?
Hello.
Yes. He looks up. Yes. Hello, Miss Havenswood. Do you know these people? He says, and he says people, but he's pointing at Greg.
Oh, Greg! Oh, yeah. Oh. Yes, I do. And yes, they're wonderful. And yes, this is Greg. Yes, hi. Oh, Greg. And I go and give him a big pat on the head.
He licks his tongue over your face. His breath, as ever, smells of gratitude.
That is very loving.
So, Camilla, I've just been asking this good man, Philip Connors, to potentially get us some medical aid for Greg. As you can see, his legs are still broken from like 20 episodes ago. So I thought maybe we should actually go about getting that fixed.
Mr. Connors... I take it there's not a veterinarian in the building at the moment.
He says I don't know. I order pharmaceuticals. I order, you know, some pharmaceuticals as covers for our raid activity. I order other stuff that you might need out in the field. I pay the invoices. I make sure that they're delivered to the right places. That's what I do. I don't know. I don't know anything about that, whatever that is. I don't know anything about medicine. I don't know anything about veterinary practice. I don't even know if there's anyone else in the building, he says, dialing the phone frantically.
I was very much hoping I wouldn't have to do this, but I do know a veterinarian who's used to unusual cases, and Bart's just sort of rubbing his temples as he's doing this. in association with the club, who can be trusted to keep things mum, shall we say.
Good, good.
Ah, let me just make a couple of phone calls.
No. So who is Bart calling?
Oh, sorry. I thought that was rather distastefully clear. A veterinarian at the club who occasionally does work about which she must keep silent for the strange.
Right.
The club with interesting predilections.
Specialist. Okay. Specialist.
You mean your good friend Dr. Armitage?
Well, he's not my friend per se. I've never had personal need for his services, but
what, really?
I am aware of his existence.
Yet, Camilla says to Bart and raises one eyebrow.
Is that Dr. Armitage of the Miskatonic University by any chance?
No, it's his brother.
Yes, the weird sex club vet.
Yeah, he's the black sheep of the family.
I did not nice. Know that much about his sex life.
Points for that.
Right.
This really turned to, like, I didn't see it go in this direction.
Anything to do with what? Bart goes that direction. I'm sorry.
Always. That's what we love about you.
Okay. So you are going to phone Dr. Armitage, care of the club where he is at the moment, I assume.
Well, I assume he's somewhere in town, but, you know, he would be on call. But
you can contact him via the club. Yes. Then, yes, yeah, you do eventually manage to get hold of him, and he does seem a little grumpy about being woken up in the middle of the night. But
the usual surcharge for unusual hours.
What kind of problem is it this time? Someone hasn't had an incident with a Great Dane again, have they?
No Great Danes or gerbils this time.
Good.
It's actually a little bit more and less exotic at the same time than normal. I can't really explain. You just need to come and see it.
Oh, very well. All right, I'll bring the full kit with me. Which hotel is it?
The Caduceus building.
What, the old Meadham building?
Yes, that's the one. I'll ring down to the security, the front desk, so they know to expect you.
Well, I suppose you do keep things interesting, Bartholomew. And yes, with that you send off Rivette. He says he'll probably be about an hour. So you do have an hour then in which to do other things, should you desire.
Wow. Which floors have we not seen yet? We've seen 7 and 8 and second. Two.
I believe the second floor is one I've not ever seen before.
Second floor is the canteen.
Do you know how to make an omelette?
But so Ethan, Bart has got some information for us. Apparently there's some Italian mafioso or right. something. The old world mafia, you said, or something, Bart, was it? Or
all right, this sounds...
Perhaps sounds we should discuss this somewhere else.
All right.
Looking at...
Philip, yeah, I mean, you stay here.
Connors is sitting beside him, behind his desk, look, you know, still with the phone in his hand, saying, don't mind me.
All right, Philly, good feel. I'm wiping my hands on him. Look, you've been to gym. I'm just rubbing up against him like he's a towel. I'm like, look, you've been absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for all your help. And all right, let's keep going. Greg?
Okay. What, are you going to take over one of the conference rooms?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So, yes, yeah, the five of you, including Greg, pile into one of the conference rooms where you can talk in peace and quiet.
Hang on, can I just do like a quick sort of check to see if I think there's any listening devices or anything that may be untoward in this room?
Sure.
Untoward.
Yeah.
You're very younger.
Well, I'll tell you what, yeah, because you've also got to be able to identify what might be a listening device. So I'd say give me a combined spot hidden and electrical repair roll.
Oh, God. So it starts. Okay, so my Electrical repair is 67, and my spot hidden is 42, and I rolled an 80, 85. Hang on. So, yeah, there's these mafia guys, and then I'm going to pull out a random... Oh, that scalpel that I had before. I'm going to push the roll. So I give Bart a wink. Yeah, these mafioso, and I start like digging into the wall.
Ooh.
Oh my goodness!
And I get a 5.
Right, good. So you don't end up, you know, destroying the conference room in the process. You dig around, and no, I mean there don't seem to be any listening devices in here.
So Ethan and Bart, well, you know this, Bart. So Ethan. Mafiosos are cold. Apparently, yes. Bart has some prior information that may be important to our... Well, I don't know. Bart, you fill us in.
Well, frankly, I just feel like this perhaps is...
I rolled a 61.
Sorry, what was that?
Over 45.
Oh, right. What, for your spot hidden / electrical repair roll? Right. Okay. So yeah, I mean, you don't find anything, but yeah. But Charles does reassure you that he's fairly certain that there isn't anything there.
Well, I feel like this is the time to mention that I haven't been entirely candid with you all regarding my time away, as well as some of the contact I've had since then with Tyranish.
Oh.
You've what?
You mean the lizard lady? The queen?
Yes.
My queen?
I think
you've all forgotten that I've got a...
yeah.
I have a thing for the old lizards. Right.
yes. Well, she's the one that helped guide me through the, you know, slight matter of a little bit of blood sacrifice to get back. And she's actually in the building as we speak.
Is that right?
We all knew that though, didn't we? When we met with Gonzalez, like, he told when we had that meeting, this was all, like, we knew that already, and you'd gone off to meet her.
Hmm.
Was that to everyone?
Yes.
Okay. Well.
So what did she say?
Well, she's not finding Caduceus particularly solicitous.
She's not the only one, to be honest.
Yes, indeed. And while, as our sources of information go, she's perhaps the more prone to reliability.
I would believe anything that she tells me. Anything.
That's not meta. You're just saying that. Straight up.
Okay, well, that's one vote of confidence. She's asked me to help her escape Caduceus. Says the, you know, fate of the world might depend on it.
I would be inclined to believe our overlords. I mean the queen. I think... My vote, at least, Charles, I would be more inclined to believe her than Caduceus.
Hang on, because, and Charles is looking really pained at this point, we found out like a whole load of kind of weird shit. Like, Caduceus works for one snake person, and then the Inner Light worked for another snake person, and then there's another snake person, and then she's the queen of all snake people, and she wants her to escape, I'm really confused, Bart. You need to help me out here, because if I'm going to go and shoot up the people that are kind of paying us, then I'm going to need more than just this snake person hates this. And I thought they were lizards anyway. They've got arms and legs and things. They're not even snakes.
That is actually a really valid point.
Bart's jaw is just flapping.
Yeah, that's true.
I never thought of that before. Can't believe that's good.
Yeah, I always just thought they were amphibians. Yeah, rather than
Camilla's just looking
snakes,
back between but... Bart and Charles, like,
and they're reptiles. Yep. Even I know that. And my intelligence is 40.
That's true.
Unless they're frogs, because they could be frogs. That would work too, because they've got legs and...
Well, wasn't one called... Definitely can't be frogs. They have scales.
No, because one of the god snake people was called Tisfrogger.
Oh, leave that in.
There's going to be like five people out
for
there.
Everyone who
that,
can't
Jake.
See. for everyone who can't see, Scott had his face firmly planted in his hand.
Well, at least now we've just. Does anyone else have anything to add?
Well, we might have more information from this. I found this thing. And Camilla starts rummaging in her bag, and Mary starts helping. pull out
your big bag of stolen artifacts.
My big bag of completely
legitimately
just
obtained
artifacts.
What do they do?
So these objects are being.
Yes. This is not snake technology. It is lizard technology. Right.
So the artifacts that Camilla's pulling out of the bag include, well, there's the scepter that you picked up in Bolivia. There is a little, what appears to be a jade statue of a coiled snake. There is a little stone box that's got something rattling around inside it. With some odd carvings on it. There is a leather-bound book that looks very, very old. And there is a little clay tablet with some kind of odd writing on it. In fact, some of you have got points in Nikal, haven't you? So you will actually be able to recognise that it's written in Nikal.
I've got 11 points in Nikal. I also have Cthulhu Mythos. Does
clay tablet, jade snake, the book, and the scepter. Is there anything else?
The jade snake, the book, the scepter, the box with
tablet.
The stuff
box.
Rattling around.
Box.
And there was the leather-bound book as well.
Right, leather book.
How sturdy is the book?
It looks very old.
Ethan.
Quite worm-eaten.
Okay.
Yeah. And Mary tries to reach for the scepter. I just kind of pat his hand away.
Can I try and just looking at it, try to use my Cthulhu Mythos to understand what I'm seeing?
Well, you could just try and read it.
That's not going to happen, Mr. Voice in the Sky.
Stop staring at the cover as if you can see the pages inside. Pass it here.
If you want to make a Cthulhu Mythos roll to divine it using senses other than your eyes or to try to gain meaning out of it other than going through all that tedious reading stuff, you can, yes.
I'm gonna go for it. Look. Oh, wow.
Fucking hell.
I've rolled a 3 against 11. Ethan is now one with the divine. Okay. I understand everything with the reptiles and their technology.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, this book, without, as I said, all that tedious flicking through and trying to understand it, because, I mean, just from a cursory look, it is written in English, but it's written in very
in
old
plain English.
Oh, well, it's written in what looks like maybe, 16th or 17th century English. So it's hard going. But on the other hand, you can get a sense of real power from this book. That it almost seems to be alive somehow. It's like the information, the words it contains are so potent that they stop it from just being a simple book.
All right, this book is extremely powerful. I can sense great power in its words, everybody. All right, be careful. I think Bart needs to read this immediately.
In fact, I mean, you can almost hear the book whispering in your head, enticing you to read it. It wants to become one with you.
Ooh, I really want to read it, but I only have a 20 in library use. So I don't think, like, as much as the book wants me to read it, I think my 20 in library use works against that.
No, it wouldn't be library use, it would be read English.
So it's your language, it's your education. Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, my education. All right. It's 50. That's not a bad roll. I'm going to go for it. I feel compelled, some might say.
Okay. You can start trying to skim read it.
I'll give it a... I got a 16 against 50.
So basically, while the rest of you are looking through the artifacts, Ethan, who you've never seen read anything more complex than a cigarette packet, is now looking at this ancient book, going through, and his eyes are absolutely engrossed in it. I mean, he seems to be reading it really quite quickly, turning the pages, and there's almost this glow to his eyes as he's going through, digesting the knowledge that it contains.
So, Ethan...
After that Cthulhu Mythos role, Ethan, once he starts doing this, he is effectively in a trance. He is oblivious to what the rest of you are doing.
I was going to say, is there anything that looks like a... There's nothing that looks like a crown.
No.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Tablet.
Okay.
And I want to pick up the jade snake statue.
Sure. I'm just going to touch stuff.
I've already stolen it. I've already touched it. So.
I just like the thought.
And when I grabbed these, liberated these from the storeroom, a couple of these things made everything else on the shelves shake. So. Ooh. Have a care. I just, it's fun, interesting, a bit scary. Okay. Like this, and I'll pick up the jade.
Was there a rod? Was it the rod that made me pass out last time?
My scepter?
Scepter?
Yes, it was. Now that Camilla is handling this jade statue properly, you can feel that it's almost trying to talk to you. Are you listening?
Oh yeah. Oh yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, and Camilla will put that up to her ear and just yes.
Give me a sanity roll then.
That sand roll was a 38 over sanity 89.
Okay. Yes, you're fine. You get this absolute. Your mind is bombarded by all these images. You can see these inhuman creatures offering up maybe some kind of sacrifice, some kind of blood sacrifice, but you're not seeing it as if it were unfolding. You're seeing lots of flashes of images that your mind is desperately trying to piece together. You could give me an intelligence roll if you want to try doing that.
Absolutely. Let me go to this page. Rolling. Ooh, that's a 79 over 70. No, my intelligence is 60.
Okay, then this is just a jumble of images. You can see blood, you can see stone weapons, you can see inhuman hissing forms, you can see soundless screaming, you can see entrails, but you can't quite piece together what's happening.
That is a ride.
I think that calls for another sanity call.
Okay, all right. No, that's a 92 over 89.
Oh dear. I think that's got to call for a D6 sanity loss.
Wow.
Okay. That's a 4.
Okay. So, the rest of you see Camilla gasp and drop the statue, and it just bounces on the carpeted floor.
Bark. Bart totally picks it up. All the more eager now that he's seen.
Total spate of vertigo. She just grabs the conference table and puts her head down and trying to not fall over.
What you do get, however, from having interacted with it is perhaps an intuitive understanding of how this thing works, that you can ask it, you know, you can place it somewhere and ask it to watch something for you, to act as a sort of passive observer, and later you can sort of see what it saw.
Oh, that's a...
It's a nanny cam.
That's a hell of a... I was going to say, that's a hell of a nanny cam. That... I'm going to... Well, that's a watchdog. Watch snake. That's... Bart, that's fascinating. You're going to love this. But first, I need to catch my breath. Oh...
So there were the other items. There was the tablet, and there was the box with the little jade.
Well, while everyone's doing this, maybe Charles will pick up the box and like put it to his ear and start shaking it.
Exactly. I was wondering
when you were going to
say that. Exactly that. Sounds like Charles.
I had like a cigar box like this. Yeah. Hang on, I'll see if I can crack it open.
Oh dear!
It's not locked, so you can just open it if that's what you desire.
Has it got any like symbols? Like, what does it look like? Is it just a box? It got any?
It does seem to have some serpent person glyphs on it. Some Nikal writing.
I'll give that a roll. I have 10% in Nikal.
Oh, okay.
And I rolled a 25. Let's see if I.
Yeah. Is this worth 15 luck?
See how much luck I've got. 37. It is not worth 15.
Then yeah, I don't know. It's snake writing.
Oh well, I recognise this as snake lizard writing. I'm gonna have a look inside. Click.
It's extremely astute of you, Charles.
Well, inside you can see what look like three. Jade, first maybe they look almost like chopsticks or something, but you can see that one end of them is really sharp. They're carved with snake-like patterns. I mean, they look like they actually resemble snakes with the tips, the sharp tips being the tail of the snake.
What the hell? These are weird-ass things. I'm going to do a Cthulhu Mythos roll if I can.
You certainly can.
I have another 10% on that. And I get a 83.
Hey.
Yeah, they're shiny.
I wonder what these do when I start like waving them around and seeing if they... Well, I know. I'm going to try and use my mental power to see if I can make them do something.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh,
you don't need to roll for this. If you want to invest 5 magic points in one.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll invest 5 out of my 12 magic points in one.
Then
a mechanic I've never seen before.
Yeah, I know. It's been sitting here in the corner of my sheet.
It very briefly writhes, wriggles in your hand, and then before going rigid again.
Charles drops it.
I didn't notice it. I'm in a trance.
As you drop it, it lands on the floor, point first, and sticks into the ground with that sharp tip. And then you see that it starts burrowing into the ground. That sharp tip, it's just driving itself deeper and deeper into the ground.
I'm going to reach down and pull it out. Stop it!
Okay, yeah, you do that, and yeah, you can pull it straight out.
I'm gonna put you back in this box here and close it very carefully. Put you back here on the desk, and I'm gonna sit myself down on this chair and sit on my hands.
And that left the tablet. Was Bart looking at the tablet?
I assume all of this is happening concurrently.
Yes. You can give me a Nikal roll if you'd like to try to read it.
Against 12, I roll
A 6.
Oh.
No, that was a d20.
Right.
Yes, the odds were worse.
Oh.
Okay, I roll a 1.
That's a d10.
The d10.
Almost.
Now I roll a 54. God damn it.
That was a roller coaster right there.
Fuck's sake. It was, yeah.
Wow.
Emotions.
It is quite hard to read anyway because some of the writing has been worn off with the years and perhaps it's not the same dialect that you've been picking up through your briefing packs. Maybe with a bit more time you could have another go, but for the time being the meaning is eluding you.
Do I get any sense off of it?
If you give me a Cthulhu Mythos roll, you could give that a try.
No. Sorry, that was a 98.
Oh, I like your response to rolling a 98, though. No.
Well, actually, no. That is a fumble.
Yay.
Oh, wow.
So I think...
Here we go.
That even though you can't quite read it, there's something reflexively, as you're looking at it, you find yourself in the process of trying to understand it, trying to perhaps... pronounce some of the words.
Ah, shit.
Oh, yeah.
Because obviously that makes understanding it all the easier. And, yeah, you find yourself drifting off as you're doing this. And, yeah, the room just goes darker and darker around you as you're reading through this. And... you blink, and you realize that you're not in the conference room anymore. You're still holding the little stone, but you can hear dripping water all around you. You're sitting on something that's cold. Yeah, it's stone, limestone. You can see stalagmites and stalactites around you. And somehow, even though it must be pitch dark down here, you can still get a sort of shape. It's almost like you can see in the dark. And from behind you, something with a very deep voice says, "And who might you be?"
Is this a good time to end the episode?
Yes.
What the fuck just happened?
You started playing around with artifacts.
This is great fun. Why didn't we do this earlier?
I'm just on another plane. Again.
He's got frequent flyer miles now.
Kind of Bart's thing.
It is, yeah. It's like whenever I get brought to a plane now, I'm going to be like, "Are you sure you meant me?"
Because Bart's just, yeah.
So thank you all for playing, and thank you everyone at home for listening. I cannot wait to start the next episode. I'm sure you feel the same. My name is Joe Tre. You can find me on Twitter at HWR Podcast. You can find me on Facebook at the How We Roll Facebook page, and the same for the How We Roll Discord, where you can find all of us. If you want to get in contact with us, you can also do so through email by contacting us at howwerollpodcast@gmail.com. Curran, how can people get hold of you, and is there anything you'd like to share or talk about?
Nothing I'd like to share currently, but if you want to get in contact with me, you can find me on Twitter at Curran_Lines and the same handle, I think, on the Twitter. Actually, no, it's
Instagram.
On the Twitter and the Instagram is the same, yeah. And you can also find me on the Howie Roll Discord.
So we're saying that Curran is spelled Kuran, which I think in 5 years we've never actually spelled out.
Yeah, I also think... I only heard my name being pronounced correctly for the first time ever on television last year. 30 years on this planet, never heard my name on television. Till once, just once.
Pretty
interesting.
It's a start.
No.
Just someone else with your name.
It's not something most people can relate to because they've always heard their name on some character or read it in a book or something. For me, it was very unusual to hear it. That's all I'm saying. It was a
cool
moment I had.
Awesome. So, Dave, how can people get in contact with you? And anything you want to share?
Actually, about on the Discord reasonably regularly these days. So, that's about it.
Cool. And has anyone pronounced your name wrongly recently? Have you heard it on TV? Or...
I grew up, well, you know my name is really Seth, right?
No.
What? What?
No, I didn't know that.
You've been lying to us all this time.
My middle name is David, but I grew up in Romania, and Romanian does not contain the phonetic sound th. So I switched to my middle name, which is in every language I've ever heard of, and I just, you know, 12 years later, I just never switched back.
So I just had a brain fart, and I was like, but David doesn't have th in it.
Yeah, no, Seth. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So if anyone hasn't understood, I've been drinking during this episode for the first time, which may have come across a bit. So, Lisa, how can people get in contact with you? Is there a thing you'd like to share?
You can find me on Twitter at Lisa Bell, LISABELLE. You can find me on Facebook and the Discord. And yes, people always spell my name incorrectly. Banks and doctors think I typo my own name all the time.
All this is lost on me. I'm dyslexic.
I always switch the two I's, one before the other, always.
So Scott, has anyone ever spelled your name wrong?
people spell my last name wrong the whole time. I am genuinely surprised whenever I see it spelled correctly.
Oh, last names, dear Lord. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, last names. That's
Hello,
a whole episode.
Is that Mr. Hanukkah? Oh, God. Hanukkah.
Oh, that's canon now. That's done. No, we're done. Please. You're
so,
Mr. Hanukkah.
So Scott, how can people get in touch with you?
Oh, yes. Like we're doing that up.
We have subscribed you all to main facts.
.com.
People can find my general online players. People can find my general online presence at blasphemoustomes.com, which is the website of the Good Friends of Jackson Elias podcast. And it occurs to me that I'm really shitty about actually plugging stuff that I've done that's come out. So I'll do some of that. I spent a little while editing and developing the organized play campaign for Chaosium for this year called Flotsam and Jetsam. Which has been coming out in dribs and drabs over the last few months. By the time this episode comes out, the whole thing should be available. So if you're a member of the Cult of Chaos, which is the demo program that Chaosium run, it's free to join. You can go along and you can download all four parts of that free
Amazing.
Of charge.
And in the, and I guess while we're plugging things, I believe there's members of our Discord who are actually putting together a Call of Cthulhu group actually going to play through Flotsam and Jetsam. And I believe as of this moment right now, they are looking for extra players. Whether that will be true in 4 weeks' time when this comes out, I'm not sure. But definitely check out our Discord because we have a pretty active looking for group section. Mm. So thank you again for listening. We hope you really enjoyed the show. If you'd like to hear more of what we do, you can find a whole bunch of Call of Cthulhu one-shots, as well as our D&D Curse of Strahd campaign on iTunes, Spotify, and pretty much wherever you can find podcasts. Next week, we're going to be returning to our Murder on the Eberron Express D&D one-shot, and the next Two-Headed Serpent episode should be out in 2 weeks' time. I also think we're going to be releasing our Master of None Athatap playthroughs very soon as well. But if you can't wait that long, you can find the next episodes of all of those and much, much more at patreon.com/howwerollpodcast. And for just $5 a month, you gain early access to episodes and you also get our super secret, or maybe not so secret, Patreon-only content, including a brand new Call of Cthulhu scenario, The Space Between. Before we go, I want to say a huge thank you to all our Patreons. You literally keep the show going and make it so possible for us to release every week. So we want to welcome our newest supporters, Ronan and Glenn, and say a big thank you to all of you. So thank you so, so much. Before we go, we also want to say a huge thank you to BattleBuzz.com, who have provided many of the sound effects and music you hear on the show. They've introduced a whole load of really, really cool stuff. They've got thousands and thousands of tracks. They've got a great player that you can use while you're playing the game. And it's really good value for money. So definitely head over to BattleBuzz.com and check them out. Lastly, our partners over at Idle Champions of the Forgotten Realm, which is a really fantastic Dungeons & Dragons clicker game, have a gold chest code just for How We Roll listeners. All you need to do is enter the game, enter the shop, and enter this code, P-O-R-T, HUTSYETI. That is all from us. Hope you enjoyed the show again, and we will see you next time.